I'm going to be talking today about empowering communities all across the nation, and that includes your communities as well, how to take greater control of your own energy destinies while strengthening your local economy at the same time. And strengthening your local economy is a really key part of what I'm going to be talking about today. Even though it's important from an environmental standpoint, when you start talking about rebuilding your local economies, that's a subject that almost everybody can agree on, regardless of where you happen to stand in the political spectrum. So, why community energy? Why the focus on your local community? Well, regardless of what public relations departments may say, the main goals of most corporations are to generate profits, increase shareholder value, and in most cases to provide handsome pay and benefits to top management. The main goal of most local communities, in contrast, is to provide for the general welfare of all the people who live in those communities. And the contrast between those two models is really stark. It's profits versus public good. There are four core principles for what I believe should guide all community energy initiatives. First and foremost is community ownership and community benefit. Second on the list is that they should be based on local renewable resources, and that they should be local, and that they should be distributed. A distributed generation system is far more resilient than one which is based solely on just a few large-scale central generation facilities. Third principle is adaptive resilience, and if it's done right, community energy initiatives are less vulnerable to external shocks and are more able to adapt to changing conditions over time. And then fourth, but by no means least, conservation first, and that's really a key part of this larger picture. We need to learn to transition to live off of the more modest streams of renewable energy that we're going to be relying on in the years ahead. And this is going to require some cutting back of excess in terms of consumption, but through energy efficiency and other means, we can certainly consume less energy than we currently are. The bad news is we're wasting a lot of energy. The good news is there's lots of room for improvement. And many people in Europe already know that it's quite possible to live on a more modest stream of energy than we do here in North America. So it certainly is possible. So what are the advantages of a local community-based energy system? What are the advantages? Local energy projects located in your community can create new jobs and business opportunities. They can provide energy security and price stability for your community. In general, these projects will expand the local tax base. They also can generate new income for local businesses. And very important aspect is that it gets people directly involved in the project right from the very beginning. And then finally, and probably most important of all, it retains more energy dollars within the local community rather than sending it out of town, out of state, or even out of country, the way we currently do today. How do you get started with a local energy project? It's not an easy question to answer because there are so many different possible financial models and ownership strategies that you could conceivably use for your particular project. And selecting on those correct models depends on a wide range of local issues. But regardless of the technology that's involved, all successful community energy projects start with a small group of committed local citizens who organize a good plan and keep working on it until it finally succeeds. Now, there are many possible financial and ownership strategies that you might want to use for your local project. And we're going to start with the financing aspect. Renewable energy technologies admittedly tend to be fairly expensive up front and involves quite a bit of equity and debt financing, as well as some money needed for seed capital to cover early development costs. Now, this admittedly can be a daunting challenge for most communities and small local organizations. Nevertheless, there are a number of financial tools that you will probably want to take advantage of, and you'll probably want to take advantage of as many of them as possible. I'm not going to go through the list in any detail except to say that there's quite a few of these types of incentive programs that are available both at the state and local level. And one quick caveat is that the financing for these strategies tends to come and go depending on which way the political winds happen to be blowing at any particular time. So you need to double check when you're researching this to see whether the financing is still available today. There is also a dizzying array of state, utility, and local rebates and policies that can be tapped to assist many community-based energy projects. And this is a great site to visit. It's DSIRE, the Database of State Incentives for Renewable Energy, located at www.dsireusa.org. And all you have to do is click on your state, and you will come up with an exhaustive and sometimes even exhausting list of many, many types of programs that are available to help you and your community with your project. Now, ownership structures are an important thing. When you're trying to set up a new project, in most cases you will want to have some sort of legal structure for your project. The simplest approach is simply to take advantage of an existing entity such as a school district, a municipality, that sort of thing. That saves you a lot of time and effort and money so that you don't have to create a new legal entity for your project. There are also what is known as community choice aggregations in some part of the country, especially the West Coast and in Massachusetts. You also consider something fairly typical like a partnership or a limited liability corporation or perhaps the more recent L3C structure, which has a social mission attached to it. And I think you could make a case that many community-based projects certainly has public benefit involved. And the L3C gives you the option of accessing funds from foundations that you might not otherwise have access to as a private entity. Municipal utilities, public utility districts are all other possibilities, and communities that have municipal utilities are way ahead of the game, and possible combinations of the above. All right, I'm going to take a very quick look at a local community solar project that I worked on personally in Middlebury, Vermont. It was a three-way collaboration between the town of Middlebury, the Acorn Renewable Energy Co-op. ACORN is an acronym that stands for Addison County Relocalization Network, and then a local insurance company. Those were the three main entities that were involved in this project, a 150-kilowatt project that has been online now for about a year and has been very successful. There are many different types of projects that you could conceivably be involved with. There's methane to electricity projects. Cooperative wind is another possibility. In Oregon, they used a biomass project based on pellet heat, and it uses 45 tons of wood pellets every year to heat the hospital facility. Very successful, and it was so successful that it's been used as a model for many surrounding communities as well. This is Piedmont Biofuels, a biodiesel co-op located in North Carolina that has been probably one of the most enduring local biodiesel cooperatives in the nation. And yes, that is Willie Nelson on the right-hand side of the picture. He's been a very strong supporter of biodiesel. Now, GroupNet metering is a really important tool for encouraging local renewable energy projects. And GroupNet metering allows a group of customers served by the same utility to combine their meters into a single billing entity that then can be used to offset the production from a large GroupNet metered project. Feed-in tariffs play a key role in encouraging the development of renewable energy projects. And this guarantees grid access by offering long-term contracts to the producers of local energy projects. It's a very powerful tool. And if you've got both a good feed-in tariff and group net metering, then you're way ahead of the game. There are around 50 nations around the world that have implemented feed-in tariffs at this point. There's also a lot of Canadian and U.S. feed-in tariffs that are currently operating around the country, and also some municipal feed-in tariffs as well. What are the barriers to progress? Well, there's still quite a few. Lack of coherent national energy policy is right at the top of the list. Opposition from utilities has been an ongoing problem. Inflexible regulations, extremely expensive approval process, and federal and state incentives that favor large corporate projects. And then inconsistent incentives and tax credits. One of the major remaining barriers also is the not in my backyard strategy. And we really need to get past this if we really want to have reliable sources of energy in the future. And of course, the counterpoint to that is, yes, please in my backyard. And these local energy projects bring clean energy and jobs. And they're really very important part of the future of our energy policy in this country. There are possibilities for community energy projects in almost every community in the nation, and I certainly would encourage you to get together with a group of local supporters who would like to see a project in your community.